The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? It's March 15th, 2022. It's Fightful Wrestling. It's List and your boy, Jimmy Van, basically like the neighbor on Home Improvement right now.
Wilson,
there you go. Wilson.
I should be like this.
You should be nearer your microphone is what you should be.
I should be that too. Yeah.
Closer to your microphone. Guys, this show brought to you by NordVPN.com/Fightful. We'll be telling you more about that later. Comes up with the video while Jimmy destroys his own office. If you want your question or statement read on the air, super chats here on youtube.com/Fightful and Humper Chats over at humperchats.com. That's our Streamlabs PayPal platform. We'll read your question on the air. The reason we're doing this on Tuesday, Taylor says, hope your dental procedure goes well. I'm getting gold fronts put in, Jimmy.
It's going to be a good look for you.
I know. I mean, you know, I got that new deal and yes. I just don't know what to do with myself.
Right. So let's not worry about putting money towards the house. Let's go ahead and just start getting some grills. Let's do that.
Yeah, getting grills.
Yeah.
I'm getting 22s pretty soon on my Nissan. You know, spending that money wisely, doing the right thing.
Good for you. Yeah, that's good. So what were you saying yesterday when we get to 10,000 celeb subscribers, you're going to do what?
So when the Virgil interview happened, I said, well, this is never going to air. It was so bad. I was ashamed of it. And then I thought, you know what? People can laugh at my pain. Like, this isn't going to ruin my career. And I never really thought we'd get to 5,000. I mean, quite honestly, I got so many people blocked on Twitter. I didn't know if there were 5,000 people left to subscribe to Fightful Select. And we did. And it got really bad reactions, which I wanted, but it got a really heavy reaction. Like Bischoff was talking about it on his show, and Sean Waltman told me that he watched it. Like it was pretty wild. And you and I both know the people that manage Virgil, and we know that they care about that almighty dollar. So I said, at 10,000 subscribers, we will interview Virgil again. I have not cleared that with Virgil nor his managers, but listen. I know what they like. So it can happen. Plus, let's be honest, that's the most buzz he's gotten in a long time.
Yeah, those guys like attention too. Yeah. So that'll get done. And I told Sean yesterday when we get to 10,000, I'll fly you. Wherever the hell Virgil lives, I'll fly you there. You can do it in person because that'll probably be fun too.
Well, since I got a new camera, I'll be able to. Cher Delaware says, Sean, tell Jimmy about the $350 ring you almost bought Sunday. Let me show you this thing. If I was a child, I would have gotten this ring because it's the kind of ring that you get to use. You don't get this thing just to sit it around, Jimmy. Like, not a chance. Here we go. Oh, man. I got to throw this up on the overlay. Oh, shit. Wrong one.
No Josh this week.
What's up? But look at this bad boy, Jimmy. The Bash at the Beach playset. Like there are squirt guns in the corner. It floats on water. It's got little tires. Look at Booker T down there. And then the light thing.
That's awesome.
This thing has a water slide. Got a zip line on it.
Is that Kidman?
Yeah. Kidman's on the water slide.
Yeah.
This thing rules. It was $350, though. I couldn't justify it. If I was a child, though, man, I would love that. Like, I'd have that in the tub sitting there playing with it.
Like, but you wouldn't know, right?
Love that, like, Goldberg's the one getting like, the sand kicked in his face by Sid. Like, he's the one getting squirted by the... Oh, man.
But you wouldn't be in the bathtub with that now, right?
No, absolutely not.
No, that wouldn't happen.
Because I live in squalor, Jimmy. We barely have bathtubs here. Finally, I'm moving. But yeah. I went to Toy Vomit, real Toy HQ's Figure Fest this week, and I left with like four bags of stuff. So news for our Fightful Select subscribers. This week, I'm going to do a special Scott Hall edition of Figure Haul with Razor Ramon and Scott Hall figures. But the next 2 weeks will be my hauls from Figure Fest. And that's pretty cool. I met a couple of Fightful viewers there. It was very cool. It was a good time.
Just remember, as you keep making money, learn from me in terms of expenditure. That's why I have $20 lugs. So learn from me.
Well, Jimmy, with the amount that I'm going to be paying on this house, or that goes towards that amount, I'll have to beware. You know what? I'll just probably wait and I'll just let Glaciers of Ice Kicks make my shoes from now on.
There you go. You can do that too. All right. Well, I guess we should get into the topic of the day. What else? There's nothing that I can possibly say about Scott Hall that hasn't already been said over the last day. All I can do is kind of echo what others have said. And whenever somebody passes who had any kind of a positive impact on your life, it's always sad and it's always devastating. For me as a wrestling fan, Scott Hall is like right up there. You know, he's right up there for me for a variety of reasons. I mean, you talked on the post-Raw show last night about his influence, and he was influential in a variety of ways that newer fans might not even know. I mean, going to WCW and founding the NWO, which was the launching pad to the most successful period in the history of the wrestling business. And somebody said to me on Twitter the other day, they said, imagine the butterfly effect if Scott Hall and Kevin Nash had not gone to WCW.
Yes.
And if you think about that, so anybody that wasn't a fan back then, if they had not gone to WCW, if Vince McMahon had kept them, number one, the curtain call doesn't happen at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
If the curtain call doesn't happen, Triple H does not get punished. He was supposed to win the King of the Ring that year. If Triple H does not get punished and wins the King of the Ring, the Austin 316 promo does not happen. Now, Austin had a lot of momentum, so he still probably would have been a big star, but Austin 316 was an iconic thing in pop culture at that time. And then also, of course, if they hadn't gone to WCW, maybe there'd be no NWO, or maybe it wouldn't have been as successful as it became. Like, so many things happened as a result of that decision. And then...
You're just scratching the surface.
Oh,
Think about this. No NWO, no Crow Sting, because Scott Hall pitched that idea.
Right.
If they don't leave, 123 Kid doesn't leave. If 123 Kid doesn't leave, there's no big X-Pac return for DX. Like, not only that, we aren't subjected to fake Razor and Diesel either.
Yeah. Maybe that's the one, you know, the one negative that came, but no, like so much influence. And then, as has been talked about, their agent, Barry Bloom, a very famous agent in sports, negotiated guaranteed contracts for them. And that changed the business for talent. You know, prior to then, promoters, whether it be Vince McMahon or whoever, if you weren't Hulk Hogan, promoters would basically throw a dart at a board and just whatever it landed on, that's what you got paid. You never knew for sure what you're going to get paid. And there's been a lot of legendary stories about a guy like Bruiser Brody. Bruiser Brody knew, okay, I'm going to get this percentage of the house. And he would go out before his match and he would look at the building. And if the promoter told him, you're going to get this tonight, and he knew what the count was, he wouldn't even work the match. He'd be like, I'm leaving. Yeah. Most wrestlers weren't like that. They just kind of took what they were given, and you never knew what you're going to get. So for the first time, they were getting guaranteed money, and Vince McMahon had to pivot. And I believe Mark Mero was the first guy that he ever gave guaranteed money to when he jumped from WCW to WWE. Nash and Hall set that up. If it wasn't for them, talent now, as you know, get pretty hefty downsides depending on who you are. That might have never occurred without Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. So they deserve a lot of credit, both of them. They very influential on the business in a variety of ways. And another thing I want to say about Scott Hall, I grew up in Ontario, Canada, where the WWF was the only game in town in terms of television. And in the mid-90s, being a WWF fan could be very difficult because Vince McMahon had created these stupid characters like T.L. Hopper and Mantor and the Goon. Yeah. And he put a mask on Jim Neidhart, called them Who. It could be embarrassing to be a fan back then, but at least I also had Bret Hart, and I also had Shawn Michaels, and I also had Razor Ramon. And Razor Ramon was the epitome of cool. He was
the coolest
heel. He never ranted and raved and yelled and screamed. He always was just cool, calm, and collected. He always spoke in a very kind of soft tone. And when he turned babyface, he didn't change anything about himself because he was already so cool. He was like just the epitome of cool. And I was a massive Razor Ramon fan back then. It's a really big loss, man. I mean, the guy was he was one of those larger than life guys. You hear sometimes the term larger than life. He was kind of one of them. I mean, he looked like $1 million. He carried himself like a star, the charisma, he could go in the ring.
You think about the decade that he was prominent on cable TV. We're not even including the first WCW run in AWA. Him coming in, him facing Brett, like immediately, bam, you're a top guy, you're hanging with this guy. Him putting over 1-2-3 Kid, his babyface turn, the ladder match, the second ladder match, him leaving and the curtain call. Even though he wasn't fond of the story, that's what propelled Goldust, was that story. He and Goldust leaving and going to the NWO. The formation of the Wolfpack, even, like, as a cool thing. There were so, like, Survey Time, all the catchphrases, even his ECW run, like, among, like, cult fans, him coming out to the Fugees, unreal. Him putting over Jericho, going against the higher-ups and putting over Jericho. There's so many, like, things that guy did. He's the reason NWO Sting came about. Oh, my gosh, this guy was just amazing. Like, he was so good.
He was, and as WWE ramped up their documentary production, we got to learn more about Scott Hall, the person. And that made me like him even more because, you know, you got to learn this guy had a very self-deprecating sense of humor. He had a very underrated mind for the business. And a lot of guys like Triple H and Shawn Michaels would tell stories. Scott Hall had a lot of confidence issues. And he always would throw out these great ideas, but then he'd say stuff like, oh, don't listen to me, I'm just a big dummy.
Yes.
And Hunter and Sean would be like, but that's a brilliant idea that you just suggested. But he had like that confidence thing where he'd be like, you know, don't listen to me. You talked about the Jerry Springer thing on the Post Raw show yesterday. And that's one of two things about Scott Hall that I've always remembered. I'm going to tell you the other one in a minute. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and search for Jerry Springer, Razor Ramon. It was in January of 96, and he was only a few months away from leaving to go to WCW. But at the time, he was the Intercontinental Champion, and there was two kids on the show who were living with HIV. And this was at a time when not a lot was known yet about the disease. One of the kids was a major Razor Ramon fan, so Jerry Springer brought him out. What a ambassador he was, man. Yeah. Like, what a likable guy he was. And he did such a great job. I saw on WWE.com a little while ago, they interviewed those kids. I think it was the 20th anniversary. They interviewed those kids. The one that was the Razor Ramon fan, now he was a father of three, and he still had the belt because Razor gave him the Intercontinental title belt.
Yes.
And he still had it.
Yes, he did.
So
we've got a comment in here saying Jericho's refuting that him being put over was an audible call by Scott Hall. No, he said that's not how it happened because somebody said that they did it in the ring. They decided before the match. So I just want to make that clear. Joel Wood says there's no NWO. There might not have been a DX at all either. I mean, and that's very true. We're getting a lot of super chats and humper chats about him, obviously. Raj says, my wrestling Mount Rushmore, Savage, Hall, Suzuki, Danielson, may Hall rest in peace. Addiction is hard and makes sinners out of saints. Thank you both. Well, thank you for sending that. I think he's absolutely up there with among the most influential people. Like Hogan is a celebrity, a mega celebrity. But I think you see more of Scott Hall's fingerprints on the work of today.
Oh, 100%.
Like, without a doubt.
Hogan, I think even maybe the first to admit, he ripped off superstar Billy Graham and Austin Idol. Like, I think Hogan has admitted that. Most of his shtick came from superstar Billy Graham and Austin Idol. The only thing that he did, of course, was, I mean, he drew a lot of money and he made the boys a lot of money. But nothing about his character was really unique to him. Hall, and obviously guys look at Razor Ramon, they say, well, it was from Scarface, but he made it his own. Like he was, and like I said, at a time when there were so many stupid characters that made it embarrassing to be a fan, Razor Ramon was awesome. Like I was a massive fan of Razor Ramon. And you talked about the matches with Brett, the matches with Shawn Michaels, the matches with the 1-2-3 kid. Hall was a big man. Like, people yes, don't was. Realize he was like 6'5", probably a legit 270. He could go. And he had cardio too. Like, he was legit. I was a big fan of his.
One of my favorite stories that I've shared a couple times this week is the fact that they had that classic match on Action Zone. Please go watch it, guys. Diesel and Shawn Michaels against Razor and the 1-2-3 Kid. And Waltman told me, he was like, the idea for that was get the heat on Razor, because everybody's expecting it to be on the Kid, and then Razor gets the hot tag. But it was the opposite. And he said that made that match so much different and so special. I was actually talking about that with a couple of AEW wrestlers this week, about how that template is just so different and it doesn't deviate much. We got Joseph saying, RIP Scott Hall, Razor Ramon was the first wrestling character I discovered growing up, and he was the coolest person I had ever seen. If that's the first wrestler you ever see, you're probably going to be a wrestling fan. Like, that's it. Like, you're going to look at it and you go, who the hell is that? Like, mm-hmm. What's their deal? What's going on there? So Matt Reichiel says, wishing Sean nothing but the best in your dental procedure. Very excited for Britt Rosa tomorrow in a steel cage. If it's anything close to the lights out match, bad times don't last, bad guys do. I think tomorrow's match will blow the pay-per-view match out of the water. I don't know if it'll be as good as lights out, but I think it'll blow this one out of the water. I'm just hoping I'm coherent to watch it tomorrow.
You'll be fine.
I'm hoping so. I've never been sedated before, Jimmy.
Really? No. Really? You know what I didn't know about that? And I want to go back to Hall in a minute, but what I didn't know about the Rosa thing, if she wins, and I think everybody expects she will be the first Mexican-born women's wrestler to win a major U.S. title. I did not know
that. Wow. Because, yeah. I mean, when you think of it, WWE doesn't have any in their history.
Not really. Yeah. I mean, they had, like, I think a couple of Japanese girls that won.
Yeah,
but otherwise it's been primarily Americans, I believe.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got Ryan Lambert saying, I can't thank DDP enough for giving us more time with Hall after having him help out with his addiction. Rest in power, Scott Hall. Yes, DDP is a saint.
Yeah.
Love that guy. I mean, that he means a lot to me personally. I mean, without his program, I don't know if I'd be standing upright right now. And then he went and he got multiple people that helped him out, and he helped them out personally, professionally, socially, any number of things. DDP is wonderful.
I 100% agree. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Diamond Dallas Page, for sure.
Kaze Ninare says, Blue Demon Jr. is a former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. We're talking about that era, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. Are we doing that? Are we counting that right now? Listen.
But also, like, I was talking women's.
Yeah, that too.
Women, yeah, U.S. title.
That
yeah.
too. But I mean, like, even then, we counting 2008 to 2010 NWA, where it wasn't on TV, wasn't doing anything. Wasn't even on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Wasn't on ROH. Wasn't on anything. I don't know, man. Malik Lucas says, send some positivity your way, SRS, after all the hate I've been seeing on Twitter lately. RIP to the bad guy. You know, I messaged one of those people, and I said, why do you do what you do? And they said, hurt people, and I think I'm going to delete this account now.
He said hurt people?
Yes, he said hurt people hurt other people. And he was like,
really?
Yep.
So you know what? I'm gonna say this on the air, and I'm not going to mention any names. So Sean the other day got me in a chat with one of these guys. And Sean knows I'm a very different guy when it comes to this stuff.
Sure.
And he got me in a chat with one of them. And what I said to the guy was, I hope that you find happiness in your life so that you don't spend your time bickering with a guy that breaks wrestling news. Yeah. And when I said that, he left the chat. And that's
after, after he tried to get us kicked off of our server, which... Didn't work. Got to have something better to do. Like, sometimes, like, when it crosses a line, that's when it's like defamatory stuff about personal life, family. Like, I keep that shit off my Twitter. I got no desire to share my personal life stuff on there.
And honestly, it's sad to me that that guy said that to you. Hurt people hurts people. That's sad, man.
It wasn't that guy. It was a different guy.
No, I understand. But it's
Well, he said, he's like, if I had to think about it introspectively, because I had a conversation with this person when my wife got threats directly, this person tried to help me out.
Really?
And then since then, I've noticed their tweets going like really, really, really angry. Hmm. So I was like, hey, why do you do what you do? Why do you say this hurtful shit about these people that you don't know over wrestling stuff? And that's what they said.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
And then they deleted the account.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, damn.
I want to say one other thing about Scott Hall, because this is one other story that I've always remembered. So it was the early 90s and I was away at university. And I was living in the dorm. If anybody's never had that opportunity, what a great time it was. Let me tell you. But I was living in the dorm, and all of the floor mates, we all got along. We all hung out. We all would go out together and throw dorm parties and stuff. But there were two guys on the floor that lived together that never socialized. They were foreign exchange students from China. Mm-hmm. Never socialized. Very introverted, shy guys. They would keep the door locked at all times. And we never got to know them. Yeah. One night, it's a Monday night in the early 90s. And I decide I'm not doing nothing. I'm going to go to the TV lounge and I'm going to watch Raw if no one's watching TV. When I'm approaching the TV lounge, you know, the little window in the door, I can see through the window in the door that Raw's on in the TV lounge. I open the doors to go in. There's only one guy in there. And it's one of those Chinese guys. And I sit there and I'm thinking this is going to be awkward. But, you know, I don't know this dude, but I might as well shoot the shit. Well, the first match that comes out was Razor Ramon. And the two of us are sitting there kind of awkward. And what I learned was that this guy was a smart fan. And this was at a time when I was not a smart fan. He subscribed to all the newsletters. He knew.
Could argue that you're not now.
That's cute. That's cute. But he knew everything about everything. So when Razor Ramon comes out, the guy goes to me, do you know who that is? And I kind of foolishly said, yeah, that's the Diamond Stud from WCW. I did. And he goes, well, yeah, but do you know who the Diamond Stud is? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, that's Scott Hall. And I said, get the fuck out here. That's not Scott Hall. Because the funny thing is, even though he had the same physique and everything as AWA Scott Hall, facially, he looked very different, right? So it just didn't clue into me. And we went on for 2 hours to have a conversation. And I just lost Sean Ross app. But we went on for 2 hours to have a long conversation about pro wrestling. And it was two very different guys from very different backgrounds that found common ground. And Razor Ramon was the one that that helped us find that common ground. And I've always remembered that story that as we sat there awkwardly with nothing to talk about, Razor Ramon comes out. And that was the catalyst for us being able to have a conversation.
He looked more like Magnum TA in the AWA than he did Scott.
That was the whole point. Yeah. And I actually want to show something off for a minute. So I forgot I had this because I just forgot. So you know that a lot of merchandise was created for Razor Ramon and a lot of merchandise was created for Scott Hall, NWO Scott Hall, Wolfpack Scott Hall. 1986, the first piece of merchandise ever created for Scott Hall was this. Look at this.
Oh, I love it. That's the Rimco AWA figures.
That's right. Okay.
Which one's Scott Hall? The one on the right?
Right there. Wow. Yeah, so basically this was part of their Greatest Grudge Matches series. That's Scott Hall and gorgeous Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah.
And I know there's some reflection. You're seeing a picture of my wife there. There you go. But this was done in 1986. And that was the first ever merchandise created for Scott Hall. I forgot that I had it until it just kind of popped into my head yesterday. So there you go. First merch ever created for Scott Hall in 86.
I love it. We've got Big Migs Gaming saying, I remember as a Puerto Rican child thinking Razor was a main event Latino wrestler, only to find out he wasn't Latino. He will always be one of us for life. Love you, Scott. Rest easy, Mang. I see a lot of that on Twitter. I see a whole lot of that. It's pretty awesome.
I wonder if anybody ever tried to speak Spanish to him. I assume Hall didn't know Spanish.
I would imagine not. Outsider Kid says, Scarface is my favorite movie of all time. Razor Ramon being influenced by that movie automatically made me a fan of him. This is heartbreaking for me. It's heartbreaking for a lot of people. And I mean, I had never seen Scarface before that.
Oh, really? So,
yeah. I mean, as a kid, I sure hope I didn't see Scarface before Razor Ramon. But
and I got to say, when he came in as a heel, you know, and they did all those vignettes for him.
Yeah.
There was one that to this day makes me smile when I see it. And obviously it was him being a bully, but it's all, you know, staged. So there's one that makes me smile. There's one where there's a guy at a wishing well. And Razor Ramon's walking by and he shoves the guy into the wishing well like a bully. And then he looks at the camera and he goes, he got his wish. He wishing for a swim. Always smiled from that one.
Rob says, I was too fat to put my brother in the sharpshooter, so he got hit with hundreds of follow-away slams and razor's edges. We'll miss the bad guy. I have done so many razor's edges to my friends and to loved ones, just heaving them in the swimming pool. It's such a fun move to do. It was so incredible. I'm La Lucha says, watching Raw counts as being sedated, my brother. Jeez. And we had Ryan Lambert saying Melina, former women's champion. She was born in L.A., my friend. We're talking about Mexican born in Mexico.
Mexican born, that's right.
Throwback says, Halt, the old Boston Garden was amazing as a kid. I mean, yeah, that was, he was a top guy too.
100%.
Joel says, when I was 8 and saw Scott on television, you couldn't tell me he wasn't Latino. I would have argued that to the grave. I mean, when Yokozuna spoke perfect English.
Yes.
I went, what? What's going on here? And they go, how long have you spoke English? He goes, I've been speaking it the whole time. We're like, what the hell, man? Bali or Lasagna says, I was a WWF kid through growing up. Then Scott showed up on Nitro and sparked what became a love affair between myself and pro wrestling. Never got to thank him for that. RIP bad guy. I mean, he did. They changed the wrestling world. They changed the entertainment world at that point because all of that was a domino effect. Huge. Big J says, I'm not watching live, but I have an odd question. What's the definition of a dream match? Why is Seth versus Cody and AJ versus Edge considered a dream match? RIP bad guy. A reminder, guys, you can get your Humper Chats in at humperchats.com. Even when we're not on the air, if you want to send them before, we'll read them on the air. Seth versus Cody, I don't know if that is as much of a dream match.
That's not.
But I would say that Edge versus AJ Styles is, because we never got to see that. It never seemed a possibility. They were never in the same place at the same time. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins have worked together like 3 dozen times. I don't know.
Cody's only been a top guy for a couple of years.
Exactly. But he became a top guy in the last few years. They've never had a televised one-on-one match. And in a WWE landscape where you're probably going to see Damian Priest versus Finn Balor for the third time at WrestleMania, those first-time matches are important. You're going to see Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the seventh time, when this should have been like how they did it the first or second time at WrestleMania. You're going to see a lot of matches that have happened over and over again. Edge versus AJ simply hasn't happened before, so that by default becomes a bit of a dream match, especially considering the fact that over the last 2 decades, even though Edge missed a good 10 years, they've been synonymous with wrestling and being top guys, Jimmy.
No, yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I mean, AJ was arguably the top guy in TNA.
Yeah.
And Edge was definitely one of the top guys in WWE, and they're both Hall of Famers. So, I can see that one being a dream match, but Rollins, Cody, not even close.
I think it's a good big match, is what I think it is.
Right.
It is a WrestleMania appropriate match. I wouldn't call it a dream match, but you want to put that on WrestleMania? I say, hell yeah, that's a WrestleMania match. A hell of a lot more than the Usos versus Nakamura and Boogs.
Is that on the Mania card?
It sure is.
Is it?
McIntyre versus Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Man.
Yep. The same Raw tag team title match that we just watched. It was great.
Yeah, but you're right. Like it used to be that Mania was the blow off. Like that was the blow off to the big programs back in the day. And I remember little moments. Like, do you remember when the Bulldog got the Warlord up for the Power Slam? WrestleMania 7. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. The crowd went apeshit.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't had the one-on-one match yet. And Warlord was such a giant, and Bulldog was, you know, not, he was muscled up, but he wasn't that big. And he got the Warlord up on the shoulder. The crowd went ballistic. Now they would have already wrestled 5 times on television before the Mania match. Like, it's
perfect, perfect segue. Have you ever heard the Razor Ramon Warlord story?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh my God. I can't remember whose book it's in. Maybe I can't. I don't want to, or maybe a shoot interview. But the Warlord was on some shit back in the day, as you know. He was on the juice. I am outright stating the Warlord did steroids. And, you know, he's not going to inject himself in the ass. So he walks up to Scott Hall. He said, brother, can you help me out? And Scott Hall goes to shove the needle in his ass and puts the syringe in. And the stuff just goes everywhere. And Scott Hall looks at him and he said, dude, I think you're full.
I feel like I've heard that.
Yes, because it's a great story.
Yeah, Warlord was a monster. Oh, he was a monster, man, back in the day.
He still is. I saw him wrestle Black Label Pro like a few months ago. It was unreal. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. I am Alucha says, I think humbly speaking for all of us, Scott Hall and the whole NWO movement sparked a turning point for wrestling that made it cool and mainstream and opened doors for all of us to enjoy wrestling in a new light. I'm not convinced if that era hadn't happened, if NWO didn't happen, if I would be able 20 some years later to do this as a full-time living, because it completely launched things into the forefront, into mainstream. Mm-hmm. It became cool. The merchandising shot through the roof. Mm-hmm. People wear like NWO shirts now to wear NWO shirts. That's, man, it is fantastic.
And if you want to get technical, I mean, the audience now, especially the WWE audience, skews older now because those are fans from back then that are still fans. Like, they haven't generated a ton of new fans. They're the Attitude Era fans that are still watching. And when I was talking to Josh Alexander last week after the podcast, we were talking about the Ontario independent scene. And I told him back then, because I was promoting around 2000, 2002, when that era was still kind of, you know, going strong towards the end of it. I told him there were so many guys looking to get into the business at that time. And a lot of the guys that are in wrestling now in WWE and in AEW were fans of all of those guys, including Josh, who said that he was a Stone Cold guy. So like a lot of wrestlers were influenced by guys like Scott Hall, you know, 20 some years ago.
Absolutely. Oh man, it's an incredible loss. It's a bummer, man. Like, after all the stuff he went through, it was complications of hip surgery that took him. And we got people saying, watch the episode of Photo Shoot with Scott. That was such, I don't know why they still don't do Photo Shoot. That was such an easy, cheap, brilliant concept. Pull up photos. You don't have to ask them a question. It's talk about this photo. Tell us about this photo. If they don't bring it back, I'm stealing it. That's what's happening. Oh, man. What else you got, Jimmy?
Well, I guess we should talk about some other bad news that has a bit of a silver lining anyway, and that's Big E.
Yeah.
Fractured his neck, taking that belly to belly. What a tough looking spot that was. And of course, it had to happen on the floor, which makes it even worse.
Yep.
What a positive human being Big E is. I mean, the fact that there he is in the hospital, he's in traction, he's got the neck brace on, and he's got a smile on his face. And he's talking about the positives, saying, you know, there's no spinal damage. I can feel all my my digits, as he put it. Not going to require surgery. Like, he's looking at the positive. He's like weeks from Mania, and he's going to have to miss the show. But he's looking at the positive. He's such a positive dude. And best wishes to him, man. You know, that's a shitty thing to happen at a shitty time. But at least he's going to be all right.
So I reached out to Big E immediately after that, and I was like, you okay, dude? And he got back to me before our show was even over. I'm all right. Thanks for asking. Like, this guy, he's such a wonderful dude. And this is after he had announced he'd broken his neck.
Yeah.
And I followed up, and he's like, doing all right, all things considered, just trying to stave off the boredom. Keep sending those good vibes. He is one of the greatest human beings in wrestling. He's just such a wonderful guy. The things that he stands for, he is the type of guy you want in your locker room. He is a leader. He is a moral compass. You hear that, Jimmy?
I do.
This is where I live right now, Jimmy. This is where I live.
Don't you just have like one dirt road in your whole town? Isn't that how it works?
We filled the sinkhole. We filled that up.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we did. I can tell you, I personally have dealt with the effects of a broken neck since 2009, and it's something that I still feel. Big E is built a little bit different. He's got that background. He's got the best doctors in the world taking care of him. They've got the best rehabilitation specialists working with him. You know, I see some clickbait stuff that's like, career over. I hate that bullshit. I hate even making it like a clickbait thing. All due respect to those people. It's just, I think that's not a fair thing to put out there and even speculate. If he wants to come back, Big E will be back. I have no doubt about it. The fact that he was able to get a message out to everybody that soon was great as well, because he knew how concerned everybody was for him.
Sure.
He knew it. And bless that dude. What an incredible guy.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. The business is definitely better with him in it. And like you said, the locker room is better with him in it too. You know,
and the unfortunate timing, like Xavier Woods came back the next day.
Right.
They were planned for a match against Ridge Holland, Sheamus, and Butch.
That's on my list too. Should we go into that?
Listen, Jimmy, sometimes you want to stay anonymous. Sometimes you want to just avoid the world. That's where NordVPN.com/Fightful helps. Whether you're trying to Peter Dunn in the UK, or you're what's that? Or you're butchering your own life.
You ever seen
in the
this?
US? NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. All your devices, phone, tablet, router, TV, computer, whether it be a laptop or desktop, NordVPN.com/Fightful has got you covered. Not only that, maybe you don't like Peacock. Maybe you don't like paying full price for UFC pay-per-views and you want to sign up for WWE Network overseas or subscribe to those services that allow you to get those UFC pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. It effectively pays for your NordVPN.com/Fightful subscription, and you get an additional month free when you sign up at NordVPN.com/Fightful. Browse safely and securely. I've been doing a lot of traveling. I like to know that my Wi-Fi, that usually when I'm on it is unsecured, is secure. And NordVPN.com/Fightful makes sure of that. How about this? 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you want to order some of these items that Jimmy has right here, but you want to avoid price discrimination. I don't know how they discriminate against you with those items. They're ridiculous, but NordVPN.com will make sure that doesn't happen when you change your virtual location with just one click. Got a couple super chats. Corey says, Big E will get a big pop like the Triple H returned in 02. Oh, Big E's going to get a massive pop when he returns. As sure. soon as what he screams, whatever town that he's in at the time, he is going to get a monster pop. He will. I almost guarantee he'll be on WWE programming again in the future. If for some reason he up and decided to retire, he will pop up, I'm sure, and do something, because he's got two really great friends to support as well. Corey, thank you for the very generous super chat right there. Also, guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Throwback says, off topic, do you think the possibility of Alexa Bliss versus Mandy for the NXT title will happen? It'd be an interesting way to get eyes on NXT. I don't see why they wouldn't when they're not doing anything with Alexa Bliss right now. What the hell, Jimmy? They're just doing nothing. They brought her back to just say, hey, by the way, we kicked off that stupid gimmick. We got rid of it, but nothing else.
Feels like everything that Vince does now is week to week. So it's like, okay, let's split Omos and AJ Styles. Let's do that. So they did that. And then after that, it's like, oh, shit, what do we do with them now? We did the split. Mm-hmm. I think Alexa was the same thing. Let's get her rid of that supernatural shit. So let's do that. Oh, shit. Now we've done that. Now, I don't know. She can go back home. He books things week to week. You know what this is, Sean? This is going to surprise you. So whatever year this was, it doesn't have the year on it. I took first place in a poem writing contest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think I was probably like 10 or something. I don't have the pen anymore. I don't know what happened to the pen, but, that's what that is right there. And I got this in Germany. You're familiar with the reference, right?
Of course.
So that's legit. I got that in Germany. And this is the beverage company that I invest in, called the Naked Collective. The drink line is called Mood, yeah. M-U-D-E. You can get that, I think, in stores almost everywhere now. So check that out from the Naked Collective. There you go.
Yeah. We've got people asking about the doctor that said it could be career ending, and how's it compared to others? He said he doesn't have to have surgery. And Van Twinblade says, my mom had to have her C1 and C2 fused after a car crash. Thank God Big E won't have to deal with what she had to. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, I should have gotten surgery, but I was misdiagnosed and I still feel it. I still get a little bit of tingling and numbness down these two fingers. And mine were higher up in the neck. It affected my posture. When that happens, it is like a chain reaction and it goes throughout your entire body. Eventually it'll cause some leg numbness as well because of that chain reaction. I don't think Big E's going to have that problem because he's going to make sure that he has the right physical therapy, the right rehab and all that stuff. So the way that he recovers from it's going to be different than a way like myself or Van Twinblade's mother dealt with it, because he's going to have infinite number of resources.
I also think being muscled up probably helped him. Like having a muscled up neck probably helped him as well.
Joel Pearl says, going to need at least 5 questions on tomorrow's Q&A to include Jimmy and poetry writing. Well, I believe you all are filming that Thursday, aren't you?
I was going to say, tomorrow. I can't do it tomorrow.
Joel, you'll be filming that Thursday, pal. but I will put up the Q&A field. Because I'm sidelined this week, Jimmy Van will be doing a Q&A with Joel. He'll be taking like your best questions and getting those over to Jimmy. Joker 2258 says, RIP Scott Hall. Unrelated. Do you think Jurassic Express should be champions? With teams like Mox and Danielson, Proud and Powerful, FTR, Young Bucks, Hardy Boys, and Red Dragons. So I kind of want to see more attitude out of them, a little bit more of an edge at this point, and I'm starting to see it. The characters aren't as likable, I think, as they used to be. I actually think Marco Stunt being with them added a lot of likability. It humbled them a little bit. But I don't know how long this will last, but I think it made sense to have Undisputed Era and Young Bucks not win the titles and instead worry about each other. However, Hardy Boys just got there. Red Dragon, Young Bucks are involved with each other. Mox and Danielson just started. I think Proud and Powerful are due a tag team title run.
Yeah, I could even see them being the ones to take them next. But
I think they should be.
I will say this. I mean, number one, Jungle Boy looked like $1 million at Revolution. Like he was flying all over the place. He looked really good. Someone and I feel like we talked about it on this podcast before, but somebody mentioned it on social media. They got to back away from the Jungle Boy name a little bit. I think it's time for him to evolve. Mm-hmm. And kudos to Jim Ross, because this entire time, he's referred to him on commentary as Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Yes.
And I think that that's what they should do. I think that they should refer to him more as Jack Perry, because he's got to evolve. I mean, he's not 18 anymore. They've got to evolve the character a little bit.
Hey, but Matt and Jeff are still the Hardy Boys.
You're right. But Jungle Boy, though, it's different to me. I mean, you know, it's different. So I think they have to evolve it a little bit. But otherwise, I don't have a problem with them being champions. I realize that there's some real studs out there right now, but I don't have a big problem with it.
What else you got on your list, Jimmy?
Well, let's talk a little bit about Cody. So back when Madison Square Garden happened, and we talked about this, there were people that convinced themselves that he was going to be Brock Lesnar's mystery opponent, even though WWE never advertised it. And then when Austin Theory came out, there were a lot of people online that were blasting WWE because it wasn't Cody Rhodes, even though they never promoted it was going to be Cody Rhodes.
To be fair, they did promote his title match, and Paul Heyman said, "You're going to lose that title." Austin Theory doesn't really instill that type of
thing. And I don't disagree with that. Like, if somebody bought a ticket to that show because they were curious about the mystery opponent thing, that's fine. But if you bought a ticket to that show because you thought Cody Rhodes is coming out, that's on you, because they never promoted it. Going into Raw this week, I saw so many people post online about, oh, Cody's going to debut. Is this the night? Is this the night Cody's going to debut? And when Raw was over, there were a lot of people that were like, I stayed up late for that and Cody didn't debut. And I thought to myself, but they didn't advertise it. Like, how do people convince themselves of things? The only thing I will say is when that show ended on Monday night, I'm 100% convinced that it's going to be Cody and Rollins at Mania.
Sure, me too.
For a couple of reasons. The first reason that they left Rollins' story open-ended. I mean, there's no way that one of your top guys is not getting a Mania match. It's a stupid, stupid storyline. But there's... it's for sure they're going to go in that direction. But then there's more and more teases. You know, I can't recall exactly what Corey Graves said, something about his Mania hopes are dashed and whatever.
Nightmare. Yeah.
So like, I think they're definitely now going in that direction. I think they should leave Cody for a Mania night surprise. Give people in the building a nice surprise. But as far as convincing yourself of something that wasn't advertised and then shitting on the company for not delivering on something they didn't advertise that you convinced yourself was going to happen, that's on you. Like, you just can't do it.
If at this point they don't deliver Cody Rhodes, that's on WWE because of all the references, all of it. But I mean, they haven't said when. And again, none of this stuff has been overt as Darby Allin saying, oh, well, maybe if you're even the best in the world, like it's not even been that overt. But at this point, like you can't, like there are a lot of people that will say, be like, oh, well, I didn't say this. Come on. Saying dashing and nightmare and all that stuff intentionally. And
right.
Like, you guys know what you're doing. And the Miz tease a few weeks ago too, with Jake or Logan Paul, whichever the hell one it is, they know what they're doing now. And if they don't have him confirmed, then you need to tell these people to shut the fuck up. You need to tell these people to stop that. Because at one point they had to tell people in WWE, hey, stop teasing CM Punk. Stop doing that. We ain't getting him. He ain't coming back. So if they don't have him, boy, that's bad. Now, it's not as just straight up bad as saying his name and then not delivering it. But I think it'd be pretty egregious if they didn't deliver him at this point. And at this point, I think it's going to be WrestleMania. That's just my thought.
No, I agree. Like, I think that come Mania night, if let's say they do the gimmick where either they say in advance Rollins is going to have a mystery opponent or an open challenge or whatever, or if there's something unannounced or Rollins just comes out in his gear and issues an open challenge, whatever it is, if they do that and then it's not Cody Rhodes, it's going to be a tough night for Seth Rollins and potentially for everybody else that follows, because the live crowd's going to expect Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
So they have to tread lightly there. But I definitely think based on Monday night, I definitely think that's the direction they're going in. And we'll see what happens. I'm still wondering, okay, he's going to get the big pop because he debuts and it'll make the news because Cody Rhodes debuted. But say 3 months from now, we'll see where he's at. You know, we'll see where
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Zach.
I agree. What else you got, Jimmy?
Well, Edge on Monday, Sean. I got to tell you. So Edge comes out on Raw, and he's got new music. And the first thing that I thought was, Vince McMahon, what the hell are you doing? That is a classic song. It's been with him forever. It's one of the greatest wrestling entrance songs of all time. What the hell are you doing changing it? But then I listened to the new song, Sean.
Yeah.
It's a damn good song.
It's a great song.
So I didn't mind it so much. I know it's the same band, Alter Bridge, but it was a damn good song. The only thing I do want to ask you is Edge's character, his heel character. I don't really get it. The promo to me was not spectacular. What are your thoughts on the character?
Not big into that. It's just one step beyond an all you people character is what it is. And that I ain't cool with. It's just like, whatever. I would have just bought, can he hang with AJ Styles at this point? I would have been fine with that. I don't need the omnipotence and all that bullshit that they throw in there. I love the new theme. And I'm sure Alter Bridge is stoked too. Awesome. I bet they are happy as hell that they got a six-year-old song that's about to get a ton of downloads.
Yeah.
And Edge, probably, I bet he had a big say in it too.
I'm sure.
Using a similar song. But I mean, so for a while, he didn't have the You Think You Know Me sample that he's had for years when he did Rob Zombie. But other than that, it's been with him for years and years and years and years. And now that's a little bit different, but everything chains together. The sample's gone, but the same band is there. I thought it was a great change.
I liked it too. It was really, really cool. And like I said, like the first few, the first few seconds of it, I was just like, I can't believe they changed the song. But no, it was really good. I really liked it. So we'll have to see where it goes. I want to next give a shout out to Kevin Holland. You heard about this one?
Oh, shit. I sure did. Ariel tweeted it today.
Yes. So if you're not an MMA fan, Kevin Holland is a welterweight in the UFC. He's got a record of 22-7. Late last night, which would have been March 14th, he was at a sushi restaurant in Houston, Texas. There were, I think they said, 40 to 50 people there. A gunman came in and opened fire. And Kevin Holland, along with two of his friends, subdued the guy, apprehended him. And this was a week and a half after Kevin Holland just had a fight in the UFC.
TKO'd Alex Oliveira.
That's right.
At UFC 272.
That's right. So he just had a fight a week and a half ago, and he apprehends a gunman at a sushi restaurant in Houston. Oh, good for you, Kevin Holland.
This isn't the first time he's done it.
Really?
He stopped a carjacker in his neighborhood. Holland chased the dude down and held him down until police arrived. That was just in October, Jimmy.
Wow. I didn't know that one. Really?
Yes. So,
wow.
So this is his life since October. October 2nd, he fights Kyle Daukaus on, I think it was UFC Fight Night. They had a clash of heads and it knocked him out or whatever. Maybe a week later, I think. That happens. He stops or I think it was maybe the week before that fight. It was around then. It was the same week as the fight. Then this happens, and within a week and a half of him beating Alex Oliveira, he stops it again. He's just going to have to start expecting exciting shit to happen.
Around his fights. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to have to wear a cape to the ring.
Yeah.
Good for Kevin Holland. Good for Kevin Holland. That was a good story. We didn't touch upon the Butch thing.
But hold on. A throwback says, happy 316 day tomorrow. Yes, happy 316 day tomorrow.
There you go.
Butch. Oh, this is stupid. So I heard from so many people that afternoon, starting in the early afternoon, that were like, something dumb's coming, Sean. And I was like, what? And nobody would tell me. Nobody would tell me. Then I got the rundown, and I could tell what it was as soon. I just didn't know who it was. It said, Butch. I was like, oh, wonder who this is. And I got told it was a dumb name. And a former WWE wrestler said, man, the internet's going to blow up in a few hours if what I've heard is true. And Jimmy, it's hard. Lance Storm sent me a picture of Butch from the Little Rascals in the 50s.
Yep.
I had that other former WWE wrestler that was like, well, Ridge's real name is Luke, so maybe it's a rib on Luke and Butch. But then when Lance Storm sent me that Little Rascals thing, I said, it's from the 50s. Of course, that's what Vince thinks of. Of course, it's the Little Rascals.
You know something? He just re-signed. I think you're the one that broke the story. He just re-signed in, when was that? Last September, a three-year last contract summer, extension. Do you think he would have re-signed if he had known then that he was going to become Butch on SmackDown?
Hard for me to say yes, but I don't know his motivations. I can tell you that one of those former wrestlers that contacted me said, every time I think I should have re-signed, stuff like this happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we've said for several years now, Vince McMahon's just not, he's not capable of overseeing creative anymore. And for all of the WWE loyalists out there, I plead with you to defend this. I want to know how this is good.
Well, there are a couple people that try, man.
Bring it. How is this good? Tell me how this is good.
I've seen a couple people say, well, nobody knew him as Pete Dunne anyway. They want to own his name. I don't care. It's stupid.
Let me say this. And this again goes back to the fact that Vince oftentimes just does things he's always done because he doesn't recognize the landscape. It used to be that you could get Scott Hall from WCW, who was the Diamond Stud, and you can make him Razor Ramon, and a lot of your fans aren't going to know. You can get Vinny Vegas and you can turn him into Diesel. And a lot of people aren't going to know. You can get whatever the hell Yokozuna's name, Kokina, whatever. You can make him Yokozuna. People aren't going to know. Pete Dunne was a main eventer on your third brand.
Well, Yokozuna's real name is Rodney Anawai, but yeah.
No. But he was Kokina something. Like AWA or whatever. But Pete Dunne was a main eventer on your third brand. He was a main eventer on your third brand that aired on the same network as your flagship Monday Night Show.
Yeah.
So you can't have the mentality that you had 30 years ago that, they don't know. They don't know. They fucking know. They do.
I mean, he wrestled on Raw and won a match.
People know. And I understand the IP thing. I do, man. I do. Like, I understand the IP thing. But maybe you should have a little bit of foresight then. And maybe when you bring him into NXT, you figure something out.
Also, I mean, he had a 15-minute NXT title match at Survivor Series 1 year as Pete Dunne.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, people definitely know. And you know what this has me thinking now? This has me thinking that Gunther's on the way up.
Oh, I assumed it. I don't think they're bringing him over to the States. He's getting in ridiculous shape for him to hang out in Florida all the time.
I thought he didn't want to move to the U.S.
He's here.
He's here.
He's here. Throwback says Butch looks like something out of Gangs of New York. He sure does.
He didn't look. I understand it's a character.
Yeah.
But he didn't look happy at all. Did not look happy at all. Well, guys, wearing that hat, dude. Wearing that hat.
I know. Guys, man. A few quick plugs. From Pillar to Post will appear where our show usually is tomorrow on Wednesday. That's Jeremy Lambert's show. Check that out. I'm on Cameo, and it all goes towards a good cause. Jimmy has agreed to match all of the Cameo income for this month. 100% of it is going to Ukrainian relief efforts. Jimmy, you ain't going to like the number that comes your way at the end of the month.
Tell me when we go off the air.
Well, I had somebody get one for business purposes.
$600 or something?
It was $500 that I intentionally priced myself out on just for the sake of having you match it.
That's fantastic.
But I'll roast you. I'll break news for your e-feds or your backyard feds. I have a lot of fun doing that stuff. I'll talk some trash to your friends. Maybe you can get one for somebody that hates me. I love that. I think that would be funny. Cameo.com/SeanRossSap10. I would greatly appreciate it. Again, interviews with Dewdrop and Reggie this week. We're heading over to The List Goes On right after this. Jimmy on Fightful Select has a Q&A this week. I just broke news that Candice LeRae's contract is set to be up this spring. That story's on Fightful Select. How about this? I got more contract news for you. Last week, I broke the news of Miro re-signing with WWE or AEW. Let me clarify that. AEW.
Oh, shoot.
Broke the news of Fala Ba leaving Impact. I got more coming your way. Until next time, guys, leave a thumbs up. We're out.
List Goes On, FightfulSelect.com right now.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Really quick, do it.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.